Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour for June 27, 2019, halfway through the year. Only 180 shopping days till Christmas. You better get out there before all the good stuff is gone. Excuse me. Okay, tonight, this is very interesting, sent in by a listener about California. Okay. 5 million voter registrations have been purged from the Los Angeles region of California. 1.5 million in Los Angeles County alone. And of course, the greater Los Angeles area includes a massive amount of population. But 1.5 million voters purged from the voter rolls because they aren't there. Now, when I did my voter fraud study, it was before the election in 2016. I did an analysis. I came up with the top 10 cheating methods, and one of them I included was the mail-in vote, where they would actually, they knew that the people weren't there, they knew that they were registered, and they voted for them in a mail-in vote. And so there was massive cheating. That was one of the methods. But when the voters, you know, say you lived in Los Angeles and then you moved away, or you just moved to another address in Los Angeles, you're still registered in that precinct. And so what they did is was initiated by a lawsuit initiated by Judicial Watch, Tom Fenton. And you can see him. He's on a lot of interviews tracking down the corruption in government. And he's one of the main people who got the Russian probe investigation. And if it were not for Judicial Watch, we would probably not know much about the initiation, the complete use of the intelligence agencies of the United States to spy on the Trump campaign and then to leak information to take a dossier. I remember when the Steele dossier came out and hit the press. They were saying that Donald, I'm not even going to repeat it, it's so gross, the things that they claimed, and it was all fabricated, but it got in the press. They put it out there. Unbelievable. And you know what? After all of this stuff that they threw at Trump, and I'm a Trump supporter. I don't agree with everything he does. But what they did was so far off the wall, so far beyond the pale, that it really, I'm glad now they're starting to dig into this. But this issue is major because they can talk about Russians interfering with their election all they want. The real interference with the election was basically the Trojan horse within. Well, it's not even a Trojan horse, but it kind of is, because a lot of the voting in those 5 million illegal registered voters are illegal aliens, because when they get a driver's license, they're automatically registered to vote. And these are people, they don't check if they're citizens or not. So anyway, 5 million have been purged. And in the country in the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton got, my estimate, using three different mathematical methods, and then I used a fourth one eventually, and I came up with the same conclusion, that she got about 17 million votes over what she actually got. And a big chunk of those, the biggest contributor to all of that was Los Angeles, the Los Angeles region. And so anyway, hooray for that. But they're still continuing with this program that if somebody renews their driver's license, they're automatically registered to vote unless you say no. And so they're still on this program. And then they have a door-to-door policy where they're going out. These are Democrats. They go out door-to-door. Hello, are you registered to vote? Knock, knock, knock. Are you registered to vote? How many adults in the family that are voting age? Okay, are you registered to vote? We want you to register to vote Democrat. And the people say, well, there's a number of answers. No, we're not registered and we're not going to. When they leave, this solicitor leaves the house, they register those people to vote and then vote for them. If the people say, yes, we're registered to vote, they keep an eye on them. And if they don't vote, they actually vote for them. And then, but like I say, one of the biggest issues is with people that have moved away. They come up, knock on the door. This is the address. Hello, does Mr. and Mrs. Jones live here? No, they moved away. Okay, thank you. And then they solicit those people to get their voter registration. But Mr. and Mrs. Jones, you bet, are going to be voting in the next election as a Democrat. So anyway, this went on massive cheating, and the two biggest centers in the United States were Los Angeles County and Los Angeles Region and Chicago. Gee, followed by Denver, Las Vegas, and there were 10 major cheating centers that contributed 17 million cheating votes, and that's why she thought this was hands down. She was going to win. She had her acceptance speech all ready to go out there and smile, and everybody was going to cheer and jump up and down, except, hey, boys and girls, it didn't happen. It's because you, the public, went out and voted in such numbers that Donald Trump won. And this, I mean, this shocked everybody. The news media predicted a massive landslide going up to the last minute. So anyway, this is important, but here's the follow-on. 58 other counties in California are going to do a similar purge. And this is also moving to other states. And they're expecting that, well, it's being followed by Ohio and Kentucky right away. But then this is going to be followed by other states. And I can guarantee you states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Ohio is already in the list, and I bet Florida, because Florida was another center for massive cheating. And what you see in these states is that the big cities carry the entire state. And so even though in the congressional races, they can stuff the ballot box and get a congressional seat, they can't do it throughout the whole state, but when it comes to the electoral college votes of the state, what they try and do is stuff the ballot box so much in those metropolitan areas that it carries the entire state. And that was the case with Minneapolis and Minnesota, carried the entire state, where you, for example, states like Nevada with Las Vegas, more than half the people live in that city, that major city of the state. Minnesota, what has a population of maybe 4 million, half of those people live in Minneapolis region, you know, and so and this goes on and on. Same with like LA region. So the massive cheating in the 2016 and 2018 elections, and their thanks to Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch for spearheading this effort to clean up these rolls. And there's actually a law on the books. And these cities and counties were saying, oh, that doesn't apply to us. That doesn't really mean we have to purge our voter rolls. And it went to the Supreme Court, and the law was upheld that they have to renew. In some of these places, they had not renewed their voter registration list for 20 years. That means that people living there 25 years ago were dead or gone, whatever, were still registered to vote and still voting. Unbelievable. So that's where if you want to say the people affecting the election, that's where it was. And so it'd be very interesting to go back to the 2016 presidential election and see what the vote count would have been, because Hillary Clinton, in the original count, only won like 57 counties in the whole country out of 3,000 some. And then they went and flipped votes in some of those counties, and then they said, oh, well, she won 400 in some counties, but still over 3,000 counties in the United States. Well, how on earth could she get 3 million more votes for popular votes by only winning a small number of counties? And I went through this whole analysis in my voter analysis white paper that came out in November of 2016, and then I revised it. I did the final publication, the post-election analysis using the real numbers of the vote, and did that same analysis showing that, yeah, there was very clear she got about 17 million basically fake votes. And okay, so anyway, enough of that, but very important. And so also very important in the coming election that to get out and vote to actually get people out to vote, because you will be voting. This is assuming you're voting for Trump. And the thing about him is there's a lot of misinformation going around, especially in the alternative communities, etc., saying, oh, Trump is a spy. He's really a dark horse. He's going to send us all to the devil, you know. And let me tell you something. No, the people who are really controlling the world do not want Trump in that office. He's not doing what they want him to do. He's getting the country back to the United States, and they're going to cheat. They are going to cheat much more in the 2020 election than you have ever seen before. But they're going to have an uphill battle, because if we saw the real vote count from the 2016 elections, it's possible that Hillary Clinton did not win any counties at all. It's possible. I mean, we'd be getting down there close to where she didn't, she might have won 10 or 12. That's how bad it was. So anyway, okay, another little conversation here. Jesse Smollett, this guy from Chicago, who I never watched this show. I don't even know anything about it. I guess it was called Empire. I guess they scrapped it after his fake being beat up by Donald Trump supporter deal in Chicago. But now a special prosecutor and a judge came in and said, okay, we're just wiping the slate clean here. We're starting all over again with a full investigation into the entire issue, into the case, opening up the case again. But here's the deal. This all, when Smollett did this, okay, a lot of people knew about it. We don't know how much who knew about it when it actually happened. But the Kim Fox attorney working in the Justice Department in Chicago, in the attorney's office, dropped the whole case. And she dropped the whole case because of a phone call that came from Michelle Obama. Now, we know this. We have this information, and this will all come out, but something was going on, because Chicago is one of those places where a phone call makes all the difference in the world. And anyway, that's the point there, that somehow this involves the Obamas. In fact, they may have been involved with this and other types of issues, let's just put it that way. And they were involved in a lot of other issues. And, you know, I'm very, very clearly when they were president, and then after when Obama was out of being president, they spent a lot of time working on these subversive programs. Let's just put it that way. So wait for that to come out, that the Jesse Smollett case being dropped was a direct result of a phone call that came from Michelle Obama. And that's one reason why they want to cover this up, too. There's just one other extension of the corruption that went on back in the days. Okay, I've been talking about education on my paid cast. If you haven't heard, I began in June a 100-week series of building education programs. And I suggest that if you are not signed up for my paid cast, you go ahead and sign up, because not only is it education for kids in grade school, from preschool, grades, kindergarten, K-12, university, etc., but it's an education for the parents. I'm trying to educate the parents as much as I am the kids, because the parents have to take back, basically take back their kids. Very important. But there's an effort right now going on across the United States to try and get atheism taught in the schools. And it's being kind of slid in there under the name of diversity. The idea that you're just an animal, you're just a, you know, you don't have a soul, you don't have a spirit, there's no God. This is what they're trying to teach. This is what they want to have taught in a school. Because in some public schools, they have a class, it's like a religion class, but what they do is they take a broad paintbrush and they teach about Buddhism and Muslim and Mohammed and Christian religions, Christ, etc., and many other religions. And then they think, you know, so that you have an understanding of religions. Well, the atheism, they want to have atheism taught as part of the religion class. And the idea is, and this just slays me, they're trying to use the all-encompassing word diversity. We have to be open-minded. We have to include atheists as part of the thinking world. Well, let me step back a minute here. What if you said, okay, we want to be open-minded here. Let's teach that the sky is not blue, it's green. And let's teach that the earth is flat, because some people believe the earth is flat, so we better teach flat earth science in the school so that we can include all those people that think the earth is flat. And then how about let's teach, and you could go on and on and on. But no, let's take a step back here. Atheism, you know, I don't know exactly how to explain this to people, but it's like, to me, flat earth theory. You know, it's not true. You can verify that you have a spirit. You can verify that there is a creator and a great design in the universe. They're already teaching atheist science in the school as science fact. And a good example, everything is based on evolution. The Big Bang is a concept that's driven down everybody's throat, or plate tectonics, and it couldn't possibly be true that plates just slide around the surface of the earth, because there's no physical force for them to push them. There's, you know, this idea that there's subduction and they just, no, it's ludicrous. The physics does not support this. On my show last week, I talked about the Big Bang. If you didn't hear that show last week, go listen to it, because I told you what a Big Bang random universe would be like. What would it be like if the world, the universe did begin in a Big Bang? It wouldn't look anything like what we see today. What we see today is extremely organized on a million, billion different levels. Extremely organized, a wonderful design, and all you got to do is look out your window and you see it, you know. But the majority of people live in cities. They don't see nature, and they don't, you know, everything is constructed by man. Looks like it's built for efficiency of size and building materials, etc. But if you go out into nature, then you start being connected with the spiritual aspect of the universe. Kids in the city don't even see the stars. They don't even know there's something up there. I've had people come out and visit in the country, and the kids, these are grown-up kids, they go, look at all the stars. I never knew there were. Or look at the moon. I never knew there was a moon up in the sky. I mean, I grew up in the country, a little town in the country. I mean, the stars and the moon and looking up in the heavens, that was just a part of our existence. So anyway, I want to keep talking about this concept that atheism in schools, they're trying to bring it in the name of diversity. And as I said, what if somebody came in and said, oh, there's a lot of people in the world that believe that the earth is flat, so we better teach that in the schools so that we can accommodate those people who think the earth is flat. Well, no, let's not get goofy about this. Let's get some adults in the room and let's talk about this. And the same thing with atheism. Now, there's a thing that's called natural law. It's something that's been totally forgotten about, totally whitewashed out of existence in education, and even in parochial schools and in private schools that claim to be teaching kids, you know, at a higher level or whatever. But let's just look at this. When thieves and cheaters do something, they do it in hiding, and then they cover. This is what politicians, vast majority of politicians, there are some good politicians, some honest ones out there, but very few and far between. The vast majority of them owe somebody or owe some entity or political supporters or an agenda or something, and they will say and do anything. And, you know, that's what they do. But what do? They lie, then they'd have to lie again to cover up that. And, of course, liars always get caught up in this web of lies, and they can't keep them straight. It's easy to be honest and tell the truth. It's easy to remember the truth. It's very difficult to remember all your lies if you're a liar, if you're a cheater. And so, but why do they lie and cheat? Why do they do things behind the back? Why do they do things in secret? Why do we have covert agencies instead of honest agencies that say, hey, here's what we are, here's what we do, and if you don't like it, well, tough. You know, but instead, they put on this cloak of honor that somehow they're honorable and that war is honorable and that killing other people is honorable and that those people deserve to be killed, you know, and everybody buys this story or some, you know, it's just a big lie. But the point is, why do they do that? Because deep down inside, in the depths of their being, they know what they're doing is wrong. So they have to lie, they have to cover up with lies. And any case between, if it's endeavors between individuals or individuals and corporations, and that's why corporations have marketing departments. So they can schmooze the story, and that's why a long time ago, I said that watch green, the term green, everybody's going to be green. If you build a router, if you build an electronic device, it's going to be green because that's the big selling point that people are going to key off of. And so it's just being overworked to the point where politicians have picked it up. The new Green Deal. It's not remember the New Deal from the Depression? This is the new Green Deal. This is going to be so slick and it's green. Boy, you got to love that one. Except they just kind of forgot to mention, you know, they're telling everybody how much free stuff they're going to get. They just haven't mentioned what about the people that get to pay for this, the actual people that work and do things and have jobs and bring home paychecks and pay their taxes, etc. Yeah, they just forgot to mention. And when they suck you dry and everything goes south, then, you know, oh, well, it didn't work, just like it's never worked before. But there again, the idea is that there are people who just cloak themselves in lies. But why do they do that? Because they know that the truth of what they're doing would never fly with the public, would never fly with the other people. So they lie. They cover up. They cheat. They pretend. And all the time this is going on, it's proof. It's absolute proof. Now, this is universal. This is, I don't care what country or what nationality, or what color skin, whatever. It's the same deal across the board. Why do universities use diversity? Oh, we're a diverse university. No, they're not. All they do is bring in people from different skin colors, and then they go, that's diverse. Look at that. We're so diverse. No, it has nothing to do with diversity, because the thought patterns, the thoughts, the belief systems that they're teaching there have nothing to do with diverse. They're not diverse at all. They're strictly one-sided liberal, communist, atheist beliefs. That's what is universally taught in universities and in grade school K-12. And that's why I'm doing my paid cast, by the way, to bring back reality into education. You can't find a semblance of reality out there. So I suggest that if you're parents and you have kids, that you sign up for my paid cast, because you're going to learn the real situation with education today. And then you're going to learn how to educate your kids. And then you're going to learn also the pitfalls. You're going to go to the school, college, university, grade school, K-12, kindergarten, preschool, and you're going to meet the mouthy parent. The parent that comes in, blah, 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 and everybody's got to listen to them. Like they're somehow, you know, have been ordained by God with tremendous knowledge, and we're all supposed to listen to them. No, their airheads and their brain and mouth are not connected. And so how to deal with them? I talk about that. And all of these different things that happen when you go to school. When you let your kid into a school as preschool or kindergarten, the day they walk in the door, that school system is taking your kid and his brain and his being and taking it over. From the day they walk into kindergarten, they're being taught atheism as part of the school. They don't let the schools talk about anything else. And then when they teach science, it's atheist science. Hey, does all this just happen? Big Bang, evolution, all atheist science. And why do atheists do that? Because they're liars. They have to lie to cover up what they know inside, and so that's why they're trying to push the atheist agenda on everybody else. It's very subtle, but if they just came in the classroom or in the schools and said, we're going to teach atheism, it wouldn't go very far. So they have to cloak it like Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf in the forest. The wolf has to cloak himself in a lie. I mean, it's as old as fairy tales and earlier, that the liar, the cheater, the robber, the thief has to cover. That's why thieves rob at night under cover of darkness, so nobody sees them. You understand what I'm saying? So natural law is that innate voice within everybody that says, hey, this is right or this is wrong. And so what do thieves and liars and cheaters do? They cover it up with lies, because their only gig in life, they can't make an honest living. They can't do something honestly. They can't win an election honestly, so they cheat. Okay, so anyway, and why do they do that? Because they know that they don't have a truthful story. And so that's why politicians come out and they tell you all this great stuff and how good they are and how swell they are. And then there's people who own the news media. The CIA, a long, long, long time ago, realized that they had to own the news media. When George Bush Sr., who came out of the CIA, when they basically got into that first Gulf War, they were watching CNN. CNN at that time was owned by a guy named Ted Turner, one of the richest guys in the United States. And Ted Turner owned it, and it was a news organization. They had newsmen on the ground in Iraq. We were watching on camera the rockets going back and forth from Baghdad in the first Gulf War. And after the war ended, the CIA said, hey, we got to own these news agencies. We got to first of all, have our reporters on the ground, but then we got to feed to the American public some other story. So that makes it look good, because they got caught with their pants down. All of the, you know, everything that went along with the lies that created that war. So by the time the next Gulf War came around with George Jr. at the helm, they had the story covered. They had the guy that did it and everything before the sun had set. That day, everybody was marching off to war. Boy, they had it covered, lock, stock, and barrel. Everybody bought that story, lock, stock, and barrel, which was all 100% a complete fabrication and lie. But why did they do that? Bill Casey, head of the CIA, 30 years ago said, when the American public, everything they believe is a lie, we will have succeeded. So that's, they are the lie agency. The central, in it should be the CDA, Central Disinformation Agency. Disinformation Agency. But at any rate, why am I talking about all of this? Because atheists want another foot in the door in education. They already have a foot in the door in a country that is primarily Christian. If you look at the base of people in the United States, they're basically, it's a Christian country, but you're told that, oh, you better be offended by yourself. You're supposed to be offended by yourself and apologize. You have to let Muslims and every other nationality and sect into this country and bow to them because you're a Christian. You are bad. That's what they're. That's what the news media tells you. But anyway, going back to this, the idea that atheism is trying to creep into schools and they're trying to put it in the religion class, no less. But the point is that you have to stand up to these and people and just tell them, no, we don't teach flat earth, we don't teach atheism, and we don't teach sex to little kids, transgender concepts to little kids, you know, and it's just take a step back because this is what's going on. Your kids are being taken over by agendas. So the time they come out of the school in high school, they're ashamed of themselves. They believe that the government is going to give them everything, that the government should give them everything, that they don't have to work for anything, not even work, and they should get a salary. They should get free education. They don't realize that if everybody got a college education, then it wouldn't have any value. It wouldn't have any value. Okay, so anyway, very important to understand the other concept is that natural law, that it is very real, and why is it part of our makeup? Because that's part of your spiritual makeup. So there's a lot of people who are just completely disconnected with their spirit, you know, completely. So they're living in the physical world. That's what atheists do. They live in the physical world. Their body is physical. They don't recognize that there's a spirit there. And they live for the profit of the world. And so anyway, okay, I'm going to jump off this subject into the main science topic. But this is why people as the human race has so much conflict and problems, because they don't, it's very simple. It's very simple. Let's go back to the Incas. The Incas had three laws, not books and books and books. They were around a lot longer than the United States ever thought about being around. They were around for a long, long time, 1,000 years, but what was their, they had three laws. One was, the first one is don't be lazy. In other words, the government is not going to come out and provide for you. Don't be lazy. Rule number one. Rule number two is that you produced your own food. When you were of age, when you were a resident of the Inca Empire, you were an Inca, when you got married, they gave you a piece of property that was, then you raised your crops, and a percentage of that, a small percentage, like 10%, went to the common food shelf. So if somebody had a bad year and their crops didn't grow, they had food. And the third law was that they gave 20% of their time to the common labor pool. So that's why they could build roads, etc. All of their great structures, the pyramids and everything, they built those incredible walls. But basically three laws. But what that smacks of is personal responsibility. Something that is simply not discussed at all today. It's like you what you're taught is you have to obey all the rules, of which literally there's so many that they contradict themselves, as something that people have pointed out, that if you tried to obey all the rules there are today, you would inevitably they could find something that you did wrong. Okay, switching gears, there is going to be a total eclipse of the sun by the moon this coming July 2nd, but if you want to see it, you're going to have to go to South America. The path is from Brazil to Argentina, so just crossing that narrow part, well, it's not so narrow, but in terms of the entire globe where this eclipse will be visible, if you didn't go to South America, you'd have to go to the ocean someplace. And there again, here's something that should be very commonly understood by the public. If you went to 12 years of school, how could it be that the public doesn't understand something as simple as a total eclipse of the sun and how the moon's orbit is at a slant? Let's say that the Earth's orbit was not canted, was not at an angle relative to Earth's angle or the plane of the Earth's orbit with the sun. We would have a total eclipse of the sun every month. And then we would have a total eclipse of the moon every month. But it doesn't happen. It only happens on those occasions when the moon happens to be in its orbit at a point between the Earth and the sun. And this does not happen very often relative to the number of new moons and full moons total that we have. But I bet you could go to, let's go to advanced high school settings. How many students would even have the first inkling of how a total solar eclipse worked, why there's a given path across the Earth's surface, and why it only happens once in a while? How many people would be able to just explain that because of their existing knowledge of that? And certainly if you had kids in high school that were a little bit advanced, a little more than normal, took a little bit of time to study instead of watching and playing with their telephone, it would be easy for them to figure this out, but it's not part of the curriculum, something that is that essential. So that's why also students are very poor in science. They just don't have any common basis for things. These are things that I just went out and discovered in not a lot of kids that I knew, but a fair number of kids understood the basics of, say, a lunar solar eclipse or lunar eclipse and how it worked, etc. But it was not, you know, to me, it was just something that was part of education. But today, when they send news reporters out on the street, this is always amazing. You see the reporters will go to a beach setting or on a sidewalk where there's a lot of people on a holiday, and they'll say, "What's the holiday for?" And they don't even know. They don't even know what holiday is. All they know is they don't have to go to work, or they don't have to go to school. And then if they even know what the holiday is, they don't have a clue what it's for. What does it stand for? What happened? What was the point in history that created this holiday? Amazing. So that's why I'm having my education course in my paid cast, because education today is just a failure. And if you go to the school, a nice modern school, everything looks good. The building is nice. They sure make sure those buildings are nice. And the teachers are all paid, and they're all dressed up in their teacher clothes, and you know, all of the lesson plans are in, and syllabus is the thing that you write when you're going to do a course. But that's it. Everything is in order. All of the paperwork is done. Everything, all of the grades are given at the end of the school year when they close the doors. All the grades are in. All the reports are done. Everything looks wonderful. But the kids don't know anything. And they go through year after year after year. And the whole system pretends like there's education going on. So anyway, what I'm going to talk about here is the moon's inclination relative to the Earth's orbit, and talk about full moons and new moons, etc. So in other words, the eclipses. Now, here is the reality. So just picture this in your mind's eye. that the Earth is spinning on its axis. It spins around every 24 hours. But relative to the sun, our axis is tilted 23.5 degrees. It's actually literally 23.4 degrees, if you want to be exact. And what that means is we have seasons. In other words, as the Earth goes around the sun, one side right now, we're in summertime for the Northern Hemisphere. So the Northern Hemisphere, the Earth axis is tilted towards the sun. And the Southern Hemisphere is in winter. The axis is tilted away from the sun. And so when we get around to the other side of the sun, the Southern Hemisphere is pointed more towards the sun than the Northern Hemisphere. So the Northern Hemisphere has winter. The summer hemisphere has summer. And so, at any rate, the Earth is tilted. And so this has one of the factors that contributed to the path that the lunar or the solar eclipse has as it comes across the Earth, because the Earth is tilted. And it's the side that sees the eclipse. If we're looking at a lunar eclipse where the Earth is blocking the light from the sun, then it's during a full moon. If the opposite effect is when the moon comes between Earth and the sun, and that's what we call a solar eclipse. The sun is being eclipsed. With a lunar eclipse, the moon is being eclipsed, so it's a lunar eclipse. But at any rate, the second factor is that the Earth's orbit is what we define as the defining plane in the solar system. It's called the ecliptic. And so the path that Earth goes around the sun defines a plane, and that we call the ecliptic. And actually, if you want to be real technical about it, that is changing ever so slightly on a very long-term basis, because Jupiter is not in our plane of the planets, and when the Earth is down below that plane of Jupiter's orbit, Jupiter's pulling up, and when Earth is above Jupiter's orbital plane, then Jupiter's pulling down. So it's constantly working to bring all the planets into a single plane. And it's one of the long-term effects I talk about in the plasma discharge comet model. It's one of the effects that brings all of the planets into a single plane. And it's also one of the effects that if the solar system were 4.5 billion years old, which it's not, then all of the planets would be really in one plane, because Jupiter would have had plenty of time to work on them. And so little Mercury is way off. Earth is off by a little bit. None of the planets really line up with Jupiter's orbit, because Jupiter is the dominant gravitational member of the solar system. And so the end result is that the solar system cannot be 4.5 billion years old. Because if it were, and nothing had happened since, as astronomers love to tell you, that the solar system began 4.5 billion years ago, and even little Pluto out there would be very well aligned with Jupiter's orbit, and it's not. That indicates that Pluto is a very new planet, or it had an interaction with some other planet, which means there are more planets to our solar system than the original nine. But of course, there's hundreds of planets out there. They've discovered hundreds of new planets. They just don't talk about it because they're too embarrassed that for centuries they were telling everybody there were nine planets, and now they have discovered hundreds of planets. They just don't want to mention it. They don't want to talk about it because of the whole Planet X issue that they don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole in the standard astronomy community. But back to the moon. The moon's orbit now, if you take what we call the ecliptic, the Earth's orbital plane, and for all practical purposes, it's staying the same. It's not changing on a basis that would make a difference in your lifetime or your kid's lifetime. But the moon's orbit is tilted by about it's exactly 5.14 degrees, so a little over 5 degrees. And so that's what causes the moon, as it goes in its orbit around Earth, as Earth goes in its orbit around the sun. Every time the moon comes between us and the sun, sometimes it's down in the lower part of its orbit. And this is why some people, I get this all the time, people will email me and say, oh my goodness, the moon's not where it's supposed to be. And I write back and I say, where's it supposed to be? When they say, well, it's usually like right up here in some part of the sky. The reality is, depending on where the moon is in its orbit, it's in different parts of the sky during different parts of the year. And that is constantly changing, depending on where we are in our seasons and where the moon is in its orbit, because its orbit is tilted with respect to the plane of the Earth's orbit around the sun. So all of these factors come into play. So that's why the moon seems to kind of be in different places. And I say, and I have to write back to him and say, no, the moon's right where it's supposed to be. Just, you know, relax. It's okay. So the end result is, the simple basic answer is that the moon's orbit is tilted, and say the moon were coming up to a full moon, then the Earth is not exactly between the sun and the moon. So we do not get a shadow. Sometimes we have a partial lunar eclipse, which is more common. But now to come back to the solar eclipse that's at hand here, July 2nd. Okay, so what's the situation? Well, the moon is in a certain position in its orbit, and the Earth is tilted. Now, when the shadow of the moon hits the Earth, in other words, it's between the sun and the Earth, it just so happens that it's going to cross where down by Brazil, between Brazil and Argentina. And there's a schedule, if you happen to live in South America, most of that's barren country between Brazil and Argentina. So it's this combination of factors that change the conditions of the lunar and solar eclipses. Now, let's pretend that the lunar orbit did not have any tilt. Let's pretend that it was exactly in the plane of Earth's orbit. And here's another reason. Now, Earth's moon is relatively small. It would align with Earth's orbit also, because it is subject to the same gravitational tugging due to Jupiter. Jupiter, when the moon is above the plane of Jupiter's orbit, Jupiter pulls down on it. When it's below the plane of Jupiter's orbit, it pulls up on it. So in a 4.5 billion year old solar system, our moon would be exactly in the plane of Jupiter's orbit. So would Earth, so would all of the other planets, but it's not that way. So that's one of the proofs. It's one of the absolute proofs that our solar system could not possibly be 4.5 billion years old. One of the other proofs, by the way, is very simple, that the output of light from the sun, if you convert matter into energy and you convert just using the current solar output of light going across the electromagnetic spectrum, and you take the mass that would have to be converted by nuclear reactions, by fusion reactions, to create that amount of light over 4.5 billion years, the sun does not have enough mass, let alone in its core, to produce that much energy for 4.5 billion years. Very simple. I talk about this in my DVD, the DVD number 4, the downloadable DVD, Astronomy, Space Science, and Astrophysics University Level Course. It's one of the things, it's one of the problems that I have students do when they take that course. But there's many proofs like that, not the least of which, in a solar system that all formed at one time, all of the moons would go in the same directions. Saturn alone has 27 moons that could not possibly have been part of an original solar system. Out of its 60-some moons, Saturn has half of them that could not possibly be original members of a solar system. And so, and they have retrograde moons. It's just all kiddywampus. So when an astronomer, or you see in an article, or a GWhiz article on space.com, and they go, the solar system 4.5 billion years ago, or if they teach it to you in school, that's another fun fact, which is completely false, that they teach in the schools. It couldn't possibly be true, but they teach it like religion. It's science today is a religion. And so instead of teaching students something useful, like how do lunar and solar eclipses work, no, they're not going to teach them anything factual. They're going to tell them that the universe began in a big bang, and the solar system's 4.5 billion years old, and that comets are made of dirty snowballs, and there's no electricity in outer space. None of it could possibly be true. Everything we know about outer space contradicts those four, what I call the axioms of astronomy, completely false. But this is the core. Even if you got a PhD in astronomy, astrophysics, and space science, those would be the core axioms that all of your studies would be based on, and not a single one is even close to correct. Could not possibly be true. Absolutely insane. This is the state of modern universities, and that's the top-down hierarchy of knowledge. So geologists have to cater to that. People in evolutionary biology cater to that. People in weather, meteorologists, cater to that. I mean, it's just, it's so insane. If you send your kids to school and pay college tuition, believe me, do yourself a favor. Go buy a sailboat and have some fun. These colleges and universities are, and, you know, textbook companies, just garbage. And they're charging a big price. And the only reason they can do it is because they have all of these PhDs lined up in a row with their skinny little ties and their old suits that, you know, and these guys don't even teach. You send your kid to a big university, they're being taught by graduate students that can't speak English. Anyway, excuse me for getting off track here. Back to the idea of solar and lunar eclipses. So, as I was saying, if the moon's orbit was in the Earth's plane of the Earth's orbit, as it would be if the solar system were 4.5 billion years old, which it's not, but you would have a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse once a month each. You would have, when the moon came around to be to between Earth and the sun, it would be between the Earth and the sun because its orbit lies in the same plane as Earth's orbit. When the moon comes around to full moon status, then Earth would always block the light from the sun, and you would have a lunar eclipse every month. You would never see a full moon. You would literally never see a full moon. You'd see the moon before it got into Earth's shadow, which is not a full moon, and then after it got out of Earth's shadow, which is not a full moon either. You would literally never see a full moon if the moon's orbit were in the plane of Earth's orbit around the sun. And likewise, you would never see those crescent new moons. You know, you see that, and that's one of the prettier forms of the moon, when you see that, just that little teeny sliver of the moon. And that means that it's a new moon, that the sun is on the other side, the sun is illuminating the other side of the moon. And, of course, that happens in the daytime. So you see this little sliver of the moon right around sundown or sunup, depending on which size, where the Earth is in its daily rotation. But you would never see that. You would just see the moon as a significant crescent, either before or after the new moon. But you would never see that fine little new moon crescent that we see. You would never see that if the moon were in the same plane as Earth's orbit. The Earth's orbit and the moon's orbit correspond or coincided. You would never see a full moon. You would never see a new moon. Okay, so anyway, That's very interesting. And then literally every month you could perform the Eddington experiment from many places on Earth. That's another case, too, where I should repeat that. That in 1905, because there's been a lot of speculation recently, a lot of people taking pictures of black holes, allegedly. And the experiment, the only time it's ever been done, and it's never really been repeated, some people have tried to repeat it and do some other types of experiments, but none have come up with valid results, so they just don't publish it. But Arthur Eddington, and was it 19, I forget, what the year was, early 1900s, goes to this island in the South Atlantic and sets up his telescope for a total eclipse of the sun and takes pictures of the stars. And the actual data that he took, he cherry-picked the data. He only picked a few data points that seemed to correspond with general relativity, and he ignored all the other data points, which were all over the board. They were all different directions and movements and angular movements. He ignored those. He only cherry-picked a few data points, published it, and got it published. And then from there on, general relativity was hailed as gospel truth. But it's one of the biggest scams in the history of science. And Einstein knew this. Einstein disagreed with general relativity. He's the author of general relativity, and they railroaded it through, and then they combined it with the Big Bang Hubble stuff, with the idea that the redshift indicates, or supposedly indicates, that everything's moving away from us in the universe, when in reality the redshift is due to internal properties of the stars. That's why I talk about that with my induced electric dipole redshift concept. That's provable in a laboratory. I've done that. I've shown the induced electric dipole redshift in a laboratory to students. Yet you can't get PhDs to even look at it because it contradicts their holy grail. Okay, well, anyway, just remember that my book, my new prime number book, is out, and it's available on the sales page. There's still, I think it's a 15% off on water filters, water filter elements, free shipping to the 48 states, the best water filters on the planet. And then, of course, if people are interested in the wing generator, there's a lot of interest there, a lot of things going on with the wing generator, but the 10, 25, and 50 kilowatt wing generator models becoming available for people with ranches. Remember, you need a significant amount of power usage on your ranch or farm to even use the smallest 10 kilowatt wing generator. They produce a lot of electricity. So go to the webpage, jmccsci.com, check it out, and join my paid cast. Anybody with kids should be joining the paid cast. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.